Everyone, this is Veronica Entwistle, intuitive and energy counselor, bringing to you some amazing paradigm shifters at this, a brand new time for us. We used to be at 5 o'clock West Coast time, and here we are really late in the evening at 8 p.m. And tonight we're bringing in Terry Simons, who channels Ashtar. She's known as Lady Ashtar, and Ashtar is a wonderful lord of I guess he's of a starship, eh, Terry? And he was And he was Venusian, right?
That's correct, yes.
And
it's
a wonderful experience to talk with him. But I just want to say before I let Terry come on and share as much as we deserve to hear from her, which is wonderful, that tomorrow is 999. And apparently on the Mayan calendar, this is the beginning of a huge number of big, big changes. You know how the frequencies are moving up and heading toward 2012. The other way of simplistically putting it is that tomorrow is a day for a great portal, a gateway, or a huge download of universal energies, which are going to fuel and feed our consciousness. So let's everyone tomorrow do some form of meditation or receiving or being very consciously receiving and transmitting energies. It's a great day for growing. So welcome to the show, Terry. I'm so excited that you're on.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's a real honor to sit here with you and be with all those that are listening.
Yes, and I think that people are going to love Ashtar. Tell us how you started to channel Ashtar. Who is Terry?
Well, I was living a rather normal and simple life, and one day there was just this little voice that came to me, and I soon learned to call him my keeper, and over time he guided me to teachers and those that would lead me on a path of exciting adventures. And one day he announced himself to be Lord Ashtar, coming through and wanting to speak to all those that were willing and ready to listen.
How long ago was that, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that was in 1990.
Hmm.
Yes, I've had many experiences with, seeing otherworldly things and not really understanding what it was, only understanding that there was something a little bit unique and different about what was going on in my world. But at that point is when I became very cognizant that, well, things were going to change and be very different. I was going from a world as a teacher to this form, which is another form of teaching.
It sure is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And were you studying, for example, UFOs or different dimensions or ascended beings at that point when you first met Ashtar?
No. He says to me that we made a vow to one another when I was as his wife, and I'm talking way before my incarnation on Earth, that in that vow that I would come to Earth at a time when the people were ready, and I would speak for him and allow him to use my body to share the knowledge that he wanted to participate in awakening the star seeds and in awakening all those that were ready to come forward and do the work as light workers, as beacons, as just that readiness. And so when he came to me, it was a complete surprise. I didn't expect anything. I was completely unaware of this world, a world of a channel, the world of metaphysics. I had no idea. And he liked me in that innocence, and he tries to keep me to some degree in that space.
How does he do that?
Well, he tells me, one, don't go out and read what the other channels are reading. Don't participate in a great level of all the knowledge that's being brought forth, because he says he wants his knowledge to be pure and clear that comes through me.
Well, now I remember the Ashtar Command. Do you remember
yes.
that?
Yes, yes.
You know, that's not the same.
Yes, it is. It is same Ashtar. He is the commander Ashtar of the Ashtar Command. And he resides on the space, I'll call it the ship for lack of a better word. And he brings that energy through. Things have changed in our world. So as Tuella might have channeled some of the destructions that were taking place in the 50s, he now recognizes that our world is a different world. And although there is potential for some serious disasters, he says we've become more aware and more learned, and it's time to look at our world, this world, the Earth, as a place of peace and where love and joy can be experienced. And through understanding one another and using our hearts instead of the fist, that we can come to a place of greater peace. And that's what he's bringing. But as the commander and as the commander of the Federation, he stands strong and purposeful in his idea that love will win this war. And we have to start working from our hearts.
Now tell me this, since 1990, has this put you through a number of changes to have this being of higher frequency and greater expansion? Has it put you through tremendous changes?
Yes, yes. I've had a lot of very dramatic transformations and transitions in my life. It's been a very interesting journey, none of which I would change. Some of it I would have hoped it would have been a little easier, but I think that we need to go through those things sometimes so that we can understand where we are in the picture, you know, that pinpoint of light. And if we can just hold on to that, even through some of the chaos as well as the joys, there's been many joys as well. Ashtar speaks of the pendulum and how the pendulum has to swing. We're here on Earth to experience duality, and we need to experience the good and then the not so good, and to bring that into ourselves and recognize that it's our light that will survive this. It's our light that will hold us true.
I like that. And also, what is a star seed? I know we've heard this for a long time, but I'd love for you to redefine it for us.
If I could, I would like to have Ashtar define it, because he's the one that can really tell the story.
Perfect.
Would you be okay with that?
Of course. I'm very happy to do it any way we want.
Okay.
But I'm just delighted that you're here, and I know that you've gone through tremendous, what would we say, purification, expansion, evolution by bringing this higher being through.
All of the above would be accurate and correct, yeah.
And it isn't always a piece of cake.
No, but at the same time, we can see through and say, I'm going to get stuck in the muddle and hold on to the junk that comes my way. Or I can say, you know, yes, it came. I'm glad it was here. I learned from it, and I'm going to grow beyond it and move into a more positive perspective.
I love that. And would you like to go into channel, or would you like to chat a little bit more? Or?
I can bring Ashtar in. It just takes me a moment. Just
perfect.
Give me that period of time. Hold on now.
Great.
Well, my little ones. To all of you that can hear the voice, it is I, Ashtar, Lord Ashtar, and I come to you with the purpose of love and the purpose of light. And I bring to you that of great love to present to the earth this essence of rightness. Many of you will begin to feel your heart's pulse as it is that you recognize that I am here with you. Our beautiful one you call Veronica has requested that I would bring to you that of a message or an explanation, perhaps, of what it is to be a starseed. And I tell it in a way that it is a bit of a story. And so long, long, long ago, long before the earth was inhabited, I brought together many spiritual beings from all the other planetary systems. You know, it is in your world that you think perhaps there is life to the outer world, and, well, I will say yes, that would be true, but in my time it was in a great form. And I brought together all the little ones that chose to come before me, and they sat there upon that platform in my starship, and they listened to me as I told a beautiful story. A beautiful story about a planet, a blue planet from long distances ago, that they would come forward in a time that over that of their understanding of technology and growth, they would begin to damage their planet, that they would take away all that creates air. They would pollute their waters, and their animals would die. And they would find that in that presence, it was necessary to bring God's light forward. And so I spoke to them of this planet, and I asked who would be willing to help, and the hands went up, and I said to each of them that as it would be that they would come forward, I would place the seed of the Star of Ashtar within their hearts. And as they receive that seed, they would be protected from harm through all the many lifetimes until it was time for them to reawaken. And as they would reawaken, they would come forward on the earth plane in a time, a new time, a time where it was that great changes would take place. And they would do the work. And they would bring this beautiful planet you call Earth into its wellness. They would assist the plants and animals. And they would bring them into wholeness, and they would bring the waters into purity and the lands into its rightness, so it was fertile and it would grow. And so it is that they present themselves in this time. They find themselves with their hearts quickening, and they realize that they have been awakened for this new time, the time of this Mayan calendar that you speak of, where it is that there's a change in the portals they're opening up. And those that are good are coming forward, and it will be grand because the changes are taking place now. And it is time for my starseeds to awaken and to see the world, this beautiful planet that you live upon, protect it and love it and design it so that it will fit into the parameters of your life. Oh, many of you out there are saying to me, Ashtar, what do we do? What do we do? And I'm going to say to you, do no more than that you have. Because in your present space, you are in the right place. You are growing and learning. You are adjusting your vibrations as I speak. And you are lifting yourself up, up into the light presence. Ah, some of you are feeling warmth, and it is joy. So as star seeds, I say, go forward. Live your lives in a normal way. And be aware. Be aware of what is going on around you, for it is a beautiful time, a time of great change, and you're ready to go to work. My little one, to you, the one we call the Veronica, did that answer your question?
Yes, it does, and I one small question is, how do people know they're star seeds? I guess is it just the drive to be of service, to evolve past the way it's been?
Yes, that is a great part of it. You and the connection you feel toward that of the universal energy, it is a drive, yes. But it is also that when you hear the voice of Ashtar, whether it's through this channel or others, there are others that are doing this, that you will find that, as I say, there's a quickening to the heart, and you realize that you are now on your path. Many have felt blocked. It's like there's something they have to do, and they know they must go out and do it, but they don't know what it is. They don't know where they're going. They don't know why they're doing it. They don't know what they're supposed to do, but they know there's something, and they have to get a hold of it, and they want to grasp it. But what? And so as they are awakened, they suddenly realize their path shifts and changes, and they go in this new direction. So you will become aware that you are a starseed when you feel that quickening inside that says, I must go, I must do, and I will complete my methods. Some of you will help to nourish your earth, whether it is that you are acting as farmers and planting, backyard farmers, or great sources of food is created, whether you are assisting in the forests and rebuilding, or planting orchards, whether you are on that of the water's edge and you consume all of the litter that's been left behind. You find yourself in need of doing something. Perhaps you are going to the little ones, the children, and teaching them the stories of the universe. And you're bringing forward more children of awareness. You have a drive to do something. And you're going to wake up, and you're going to know what it is. And when you do, there will be no stopping you. As with my little one, when it is that I awoken her, and I said to her, it's time to go to work, my little one. And she agreed. She took that vow that said, I will follow spirit where you lead me. Many of you are sitting there thinking, what am I supposed to do with this? And I'm saying to you, trust. Trust in your God. Trust in your knowledge. Trust in you. That you will know your path. And that as you walk it, it will become clear.
Thank you for that. Do you feel, we keep hearing how there's a tremendous speed up in the frequencies of our planet and of the universe, I hear. Is that so? Is that how you experience it?
Yes, that is very clear. You spoke of this, the Mayan calendar, and that of this grand date of the 999.
Yes.
It is a grand date. It began that in, well, about 3 years past, where it was that your earth has started the quickening, it started the shifting. Many of you speak of the year 2012, and you say that there's going to be this great change. What happens? The Mayan calendar ends. How are we going to transcend that period of time? And I say to you, my little ones, just know that as you go through each portal, as you come through this quickening, that you will find yourself in a place that it is going to become home. It is quickening, and it is a universal quickening, and I will say that within the parallel universes it is quickening. And it's going to transform your earth into a much more loving, peaceful place. Right now, at this point in time, what is happening is the earth is energizing. Your earth and all of its minerals are beginning to compound, to create, to compress. And as they are doing so, the vibrations within the earth is compressing. It's becoming more ignited, if you will. And it's allowing for all the creatures to become energized, if you will. It is not a very good term, perhaps. But what that means is that there's going to be more activity. You're going to see it and feel it, while at the same time, there's going to be a greater level of peace. Peace within each living creature.
Is the energizing actually sort of awakening in each individual, in each creature?
Yes, that is correct.
And do we then shift dimensions, or how do you perceive it?
You will shift dimensions, but you're not going to do it like going out into the universe. So many of you are ready to jump on a ship and fly. Well, there will come a time.
That sounds good.
Yes, it would be a grand trip, would it not? My little one often says to me, Ashtar, come and get me, take me for a ride, but bring me back in one. Please. And many of you will say the same thing. Oh, and it is good. But you are quickening. That's correct. And it is a time where there will be opportunity for more astral travel, for more activity within the universe. But this is the beginning. You must quicken your earth first so that the earth and each of you begin to feel that energy.
Hmm.
Will you be transforming through the universes? Will you be teleporting? Will you be doing some of these other metaphysical activities? Of course you will. Not today, but it will come. Hmm. And as it does, you're going to be ready for it. So many of you fear this change. You fear this time. It is much like that of the time where it was. The energies and your earth was transforming through the proton, photon belts. And you found that, oh, it was going to be quite a drama and there was going to be these earth changes. Well, there is an earth change, and it is that change that causes the vibration of the earth to shift, therefore making a more comfortable living environment. But it isn't these great impacting dramas. It becomes a more comfortable environment for the human form. And that's important. So as you were going into this new energy shift and through these portals, what you're doing is you're beginning that quickening. You're beginning to open up so that the universe becomes a greater place so that you are more capable of accepting that universal energy and becoming more at peace with yourself.
Hmm. Well, tell me this. I appreciate what you're saying. This is very beautiful.
My honor for you, my little one.
Thank you. The DNA, for example, we keep hearing that we're changing as a species and we can influence our DNA. I keep thinking vibrationally that's probably what's happening. We can intentionally create ourselves as a species. Is that so?
That's true. And this is how it takes place. There's many of you that have spoken in terms of the 12 strands of DNA and how you are all working. Now, not all of you believe in this, of course, but most of you that are aware will say that, yes, there is the 12 strands, and that's what you're attempting to create. What you will find is, in your physical forms, you have two strands, and those two will continue in their fashion that, well, fashion you as humans. But the other 10 will come on an etheric level. Some of you have already enlightened and incited 3, 4, and 5 strands of those etheric energies. From that will come that greater vibration, the teachers, those that are aware of the greater world. And as they are excited and you become more in line with your 12, and you will over time, that's part of what this shift is doing now, is it's as you are opening up the earth to its vibration, the crystals, they begin to become more intense. You will find that they're shifting as we speak. You too are, because you are of a crystalline energy. That's what so many of you do not understand. You speak in terms of crystal power, for example. If you look at your form, and that it would be primarily water, and your water is a crystalline form, you are all created of crystalline energy. And that's what's been missed over time.
So we can absorb higher frequencies and actually transmit?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
The process of awakening in humanity is really difficult sometimes, meaning we're going through all these different changes, and there's a lot of, for example, addictions, there's a lot of polarization and so on. Can you give us any illumination on this, or any ways of making us feel more peaceful about how some of these aspects come up and to be less victimized by it or whatever?
Well, first, let's explain that your earth is a pendulum. Hmm. You must, while you are on earth, have a gentle swing. But fear stops you. Anxiety stops you. These elements of addictions, these elements of depression, these elements that put you out there and make you fear, that is what prevents you from growing. And in that then comes these addictions, the alcoholism and the drug addictions that are going on, as well as addictions, well, for all forms of, you would say, but in that state, I'm going to say this. It's fear. If you will look at what holds you, what it is that pulls on you, and you're going to see that if you would just let it go and let yourself become light. Now, that sounds easy, of course, and I realize the words are simple. But if you let the light shine in, don't fear it. Let the presence of illumination come into your hearts, your souls, your bodies, your spirits. Become that illuminated light. You'll no longer have the need for these substances, these activities. and you'll find yourself in a much purer state. Some of you come with some of these addictions, depressions, energies that, well, shall I say, wind you down just a bit. You come for karmic reasons, and that must be taken into account in your earthly existence. But for those of you that are there out of fear and anxiety, I'm going to say, look at what stops you. Each day as you're moving along, where is that gate that you fear to push open?
Hmm.
And look at it and realize that it's really no more than a gate without a lock.
Hmm.
And is just waiting to be pushed.
Make our own jails. Well, what about the karmic reasons when you said that's different, that has to be dealt with? How do we deal with that?
Your karma is divined or designed to transform activities in other lifetimes. You do create karma on a mild or minor sense while it is that you are in your present form. What you do to one comes back to you and that sort of thing. But if it is that you are ready for transition and you go back into your spirit light body and you are in a state or a space where you have committed an act of great proportion, and remember, karma can be love, an act of great proportion, then you will return with that karmic contract where you can undo, untie, or reconnect. It could be a vow where you come in love and you wish to stay together. Many of you speak of your soulmates and that sort of thing. Those are karmic ties that pull you together. In some cases, however, you're doing some of the negative activities and you find yourself in a place that that's what you want to undo. And so in prayer, I offer that you go through a process of rescinding those karmic ties and allow that the universe take that. And as you're going through this purification time or activation time, to put your karma in the middle of that activation and let it ignite and become light, transforming it and being in forgiveness. Because most of you think of karma and negativity. Remember, it's forgiveness that shares that light, that spreads it, that opens you up to a greater opportunity of love. And love
really
is what you've come here to learn.
And karma is really attachment because of emotional reactions, isn't it?
That's correct. It is attachment, but it comes on a contractual level prior to your birth.
Hmm.
Many will think in our group here, will find that they are thinking attachments. They think entities or other spirits that have attached and are drawing their energy down. And karma is different than that. Karma is a place where you have said, okay, I'm going to go back. I'm going to take this bit of karma with me. It's like a backpack of rocks, perhaps. And you're going to take those with you, and they're going to be delivered appropriately to discontinue this negative activity. I'm going to say, fill that backpack with light.
Hmm.
Allow them to explode into beautiful geodes or into the stars of your Milky Way.
Hmm.
Let them open up.
Mm. I love that.
Send them home.
Tell me this also about death. I don't even know what I'm going to ask. It's just that we're on such a flow of lives, aren't we?
Yes.
What can you explain death from your perspective? And I assume that you don't experience death, right?
That's correct. I do not. Death comes about by that of the ending of a life as you know it. Now, by that I say on a physical, the elemental part of you that is earthly. Your light never dies. Your spirit, your soul, it never dies. I refer to your physical bodies as temples. And your temples will always remain solid and sound in that you are there to care for them. But they did become a part of the mineral aspects of Earth, and because they are a part of your mineral composition of Earth, they will go back into the earthly body. And that's where so many become confused. You carry it as a temple for the moment, for this period of time, and I honor each of you that you will take care of them. Give them the nutrients they need. Take care of your physical forms. You have taken it upon you when you honored your parents and said, I'll come in. I will take this physical form. You honored it. Care for it. Having said that, as caregivers, when you are in the process of transition back into your light body, instead of referring to it as death, you transform back into your light bodies. You leave behind this physical form you call a body, the temple, and you allow it to transform back into its earthly elements. Ah, and that is a beautiful state because it nourishes and it feeds the energy into the earth. And as it has done so, you transform into light. As you came into your birth state, you were a light body, a brilliant light. Many of you will say, I see blue balls of light or red balls or pink balls. You're seeing light bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And those light bodies honor this physical form. Your physical form then becomes tired. I hesitate to say it wears out, but to some degree it does. And you find yourself in a place that it's time to release it. And then you come back to your light body. So you never really die.
Mm-hmm.
You let go of the physical temple so that you can inhabit another one along the way if you choose.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yes, it sounds a little easier. We deal with so much grief and loss and shifting identities, and I guess it's more stupendous from the earth plane than it is from beyond. Eh?
The grief and loss you experience on the earth is coming from the ties of the heart.
Hmm.
It is that you will become united with one another. And you are creatures that require community. Without community, even your hermits require community.
Mm-hmm.
Without that community, you cannot survive or will not survive long.
Mm.
Having said that, it's that bond that you grieve at the time of your death.
Mm.
You grieve the bond of the two physical entities. Those of you that are in the understanding of, if you'll allow me to use the phrase heaven, or that of the world of light, when you understand that you've just transformed back into your light body, that this grief comes from the connection to that physical being, and then it doesn't always, well, it will not take away the pain,
mm-hmm.
but it will help you to understand that those light bodies are with you.
Mm-hmm.
They walk with you. You carry them. That love stays with you. You often say it is in your heart and in your memories, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are at peace with yourself and you settle in on an energy as you might know, you'll find the warmth or perhaps a breath of air. You'll find an energy that comes over you that you know is that being. Perhaps it is an essence in the air, a pinch on the toe. You will note us, and we will become a part of you, and that light stays with you. The light body will stay with you.
Mm.
But your grief comes from the loss of the physical attachment,
mm.
and that's where your pain resides.
I understand that. Thank you for that.
My honor for you, my little one.
Thank you so much. And I sent out a little notice saying you were going to be on, and I have several questions for you if I could hand those to you now.
Yes, that would be grand. Let's see what we want to learn tonight.
Well, it's interesting because you were talking about our bonding to one another and that creates the grief and so on. These questions seem to be aligned with the idea of our communities in change and in distress at this time on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from someone named Stephen, and he said, if you have any insight on the next truly helpful way of changing the current methods of teaching to help kids with so-called learning disabilities and kids in general whose self-esteem can be badly hurt just by attending school, and it's akin to torture in some cases. Are there new technologies? Can you give us any insights on how to help, the education systems and man's inhumanity to man on that level.
When you speak in terms of children with learning disabilities and handicaps, I'm going to address momentarily those that I refer to as indigos, because they are very misunderstood. The indigo children are very active. You call them hyperactive, and some of them you would even say have a social deficit.
Okay.
They are so aware and so knowledgeable and so bored in your school system that they can't function.
Right.
They can't. They cannot function in the system as it is run today. You're learning disabled children. It is very similar. Yes, their brains have, well, some of the synapses aren't clicking quite right. That's true. But they're bored. They need to come through different channels and different understandings. This technology you call the computer is an excellent technology for these children. At this point in time, that's what's available to them. But it activates them, and it stimulates them, and it allows them to think. The indigos need this. The indigos need to have a source that is so expansive that even at three, you might call them geniuses. Because they're aware so greatly. Many of you know children, young children. You look in their eyes and you know they're wise and they're ancient. And they're coming through now with great wisdom. The indigos are doing that. And they're thought to be maladjusted because they're so bored.
Because they can't stand social progress the way it is, I suppose, eh?
And they can't stand the social pressure.
Right.
Because they know it doesn't have to be this way. So to address your Stephen's question, it is very important that each of these children be handled as is within their needs. It isn't about technology, it's about listening. It isn't about change, it's about awareness. It isn't about making all of them do the same thing like automatons. None of you are. You all learn best in your own styles.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will look at each child and get to know them, truly understand them, look for their sequencing, because that's where it's coming from. It's a sequencing of the brain. You may not unlock that karma that caused a child to be able to read only at your second grade level. There's some karmic tie there. They will never gain beyond that. And it might be a lesson for the parent. Aha, my child's perfect until they get to school. So listen to them. What are they telling you? Where is their expertise? Once you find their expertise, where is their genius, if you will? Once you learn that, then take the basis of knowledge, your math, your reading, your comprehension, into that arena, and they will learn. And they will learn.
Isn't there also a difficulty as the frequencies are moving up and the kids are all kind of moving around together, that there's a lot of abrasiveness in that community?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in the community of the children that have these handicaps, yes, it's even more so because they're so, the vibrations are so, how you want to say, they're static at times and yet they're accelerated at others. They don't seem to stay on an even course. And so everything that comes at them bombards with greater poignance. It becomes heavier and deeper.
And as
and
you
so
said
they
earlier,
don't know how to understand it.
And as you said earlier, they know it shouldn't have to be this way.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand it, so they become confused. That's why it's important to listen. You've lost that skill in your world. You've lost the skill of listening. Not all of you, but many. You found yourself being overwhelmed with technology, that you no longer listen to each other. You hear what you want to hear. You don't hear what...
And that jumps us to Deb's question, which is, Do you have any greater perspective over this terrible health insurance debate? Talk about not listening to anybody. Oh, my goodness.
And that's correct. And it is a great debate. And in your country, you are fortunate that you have the ability to debate. Your law persons, they will create laws and they will create policies. And I will say that in the end, it will better the situation for the majority of people in your country. It is a great debate. And that is good, because you're talking. What is bad is you're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the medical, those, the doctors, the nurses, listen to them. What do they need? Listen to the people. What do they need? The great debate is going to go on forever, even once it has been socialized or independent of one another. It will go on forever. The solution to it is to listen. Listen. Hear the cries of the children, be they old or young. Recognize what is needed. And what is needed in your world right now is a great transformation of the technology involved in the medical system. You have so many opportunities for health now. And you won't use it because of your, well, lobbyists.
Yes.
And that's where the change needs to come.
Maybe the listening is only done when money is involved.
That's true.
Yes, that's a bit.
And it only moves in the direction of money.
Is that going to change, Ashtar?
Oh, it will in time, but not in any time soon.
Oh, darn.
As long as you have a bartering system, as long as you have needs and wants that others have, as long as there is greeds and egos, it will continue.
Hmm. So then, as we're moving out of fear and we're evolving so that the glue is love, isn't that where we're
that's
headed?
Correct. Yes, that's
all
very
right.
Correct.
So Deb asks, this is Deb's second question, but I think it's worth it. How would you like to see us working with the hungry, the homeless, and the sick? Should we abandon our other work in the world and tend solely to those less fortunate to ourselves, less fortunate than ourselves?
And then to answer that question, it would be no.
Okay.
If you abandon everything and work for the needy in the world, if you will allow for that expression, you will find that you will not have what is required to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you abandon your fields of grain, there will be no more grain. If you run off to help those in the cities, your ghettos, for example, and you leave your fields to rot, you will not survive. You must have balance. Your earth is about balance.
Mm-hmm.
Each of you plays a role. Each of you plays a significant role toward the betterment of mankind.
Yes.
And you must have that balance. Those of you that are able, go, assist. If your heart is there and that's where you want to be, yes, become a part of the change. But remember, a part of that change is caring for the fields, caring for the animals, caring for homes, building structures where you can survive.
Mm.
You've become so opulent, so big-minded, and it's greed. You all want the bigger one, you all want the better one, you all want the faster one, etc. If you realize that you can live a simple lifestyle and that joy and happiness comes from within, most of you see that the happiness, you think, well, I'll be happier if.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to make you happy.
Well, is the trend actually moving so that we're more consciously in the essence of our own beingness instead of some socially programmed style? Do you think we're learning to be ourselves, is what I'm asking, to really come home to ourselves?
Many of you. It isn't in the majority yet. Your recession has led you to this. Your recession has led you to realize that it's really family. It's those close ties that are important. It's those things that really no longer matter. Well, some of you still want them. but you're in a place now where you realize that the finances are limited. And so they're no longer available to you, and you're beginning to recognize that, well, the example would be at home with your family and a board game brings you more joy than going to some great grand event. If some of you are beginning to realize that it is a simple lifestyle, that that joy comes from within, that the love comes from within, you have to share. You have to share your knowledge with each other, your love, your hearts. That's where you're going to find the peace.
Hmm.
And that's where you're going to find health.
Hmm.
Because much of your health comes from the outside world. And I'm not talking about germs and bacteria. I'm talking about that part of you that when you reach out and you want what others have, the greed develops a shift in your vibration. It creates a conflict in your vibration. And if you realize that it's what you have that others want, just as it is you want, you'll see that through that, that vibration becomes static. And that's where illness very often arises.
Boy, that's sure true. I really agree with that. Do you think we'll be able to feed all the starving people? That's possible, isn't it? It's very
possible.
Yes, it
is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes.
Do you see it coming?
But you can't do it on rice alone.
Hmm.
And that's where the problem arises. Yes, rice is a very good and healthy product. But you have to have pure water. Your bodies will not survive without water. It can survive without rice. You need to have the ability to sanitize. Some of your communities, some of your worldly opportunities are beginning to recognize that really that is what you must have. Because with water you can grow. With water you can sanitize. You have to purify the water. You have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So many of you use it as your cesspools. And it's important to begin with purity of water. You can survive without food for a period of time. You cannot survive without water.
Hmm. And do you
see us doing this? When you think of feeding the nations, you're giving them food. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to give them pure water.
Right.
And that's where some of the problem lies.
Wow, we're drawing a little bit to a close, and I was wondering if you would be able to do a meditation with the listeners, perhaps something of your choice or something to take us closer to self-integrity during this period of time or going through the portals for 2012 or something.
Oh, you are a blessing, my little one. Let's do this. Let's each of us take a moment and take a very deep breath and find ourselves in that inner peace. So breathe in deep. And now let it out with peaceful energy and find within yourself that inner light, that spark of light right there with your heart. And feel it as it begins to glow, a warm and gentle glow. And as you do, feel the cells of your body, each one moving against the other, in gentle peace and harmony. Feel the fluids as they gently move. Feel the air as it gently fills. And each molecule gently bouncing off the other, creating life. And as you enter the portal that will begin tomorrow, feel that energy, those gentle, loving molecules of life begin to quicken and feel the warmth. And that inner light, see it brighten and become solid. and sound. And as you do, see that light emanate out of every pore of your body, brighter than it was before. A loving light, a warm and pure light, as your body begins its quickening, opening up to the universe, hearing clearer, seeing brighter, bodies coming into full health, for you are now regulating yourself in your purest form. Inner love, self-love, and love that radiates out, God's love. Take a moment now and feel that. And as you do, remember, you are loved. And now I'm going to bring you back, gently, feeling that part of you that is warm and recognizing it as home, feeling that part of you that resonates in its physical form, knowing your temple as well, and feeling that part of you that you know and that is comfortable and that becomes the unity of life on earth. To each of you be blessed. Taking a bit of a breath now, let's return to our physical forms. And you have come home. There you are, my little one.
That is very beautiful. And I don't like to let you go. How can people be in touch with you or Terry?
We'll let the little one come back here. It'll only take her a moment, and she can assist you in that process.
Thank you.
Blessings to each of you with love and light and the joy of godliness. Find yourself in that place of warmth, that place of light, and be at peace. Be blessed, my little one. En nombre.
Bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh, my.
Veronica?
Welcome back, Terry.
I hope that was helpful to everyone tonight.
I thought it was very rich and illuminating and loving and vibrationally just wonderful.
Thank you. Good.
And how are you? And we were wondering how to get in touch with you.
Well, you can reach me at my email at tjcunningham52@gmail.com.
tjcunningham52@gmail.com.
Yes.
And you're doing a an evening, aren't you, soon in San Diego? Or
I have several groups that are lining up in San Diego through the month of October. I'm offering privates. And I also work by phone. If anybody would like the phone number, that would be 503-371-9428. And you can reach me that way if you're looking for a private phone reading.
Okay.
And I'll be doing that while I'm in San Diego. And once I leave San Diego, then I'll be going to Mount Shasta at the end of the month, and there will be two seminars offered, and you can reach me at the email address, and I will give you further information on that.
That's tjcunningham52@gmail.com or 503-371-9428, right?
That's correct.
And you know, this has just been absolutely delightful. I've enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be present with you tonight. Thank you.
Well, maybe you'll come back again.
It's a very high possibility.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And this is Veronica Entwistle saying, well, I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. This is the first night we've been on this late, so I thought that was a really good place to start. And I'm going to be on again on Thursday night now at 7 o'clock for Radiance by Design. And that's a call-in show. We'll be talking, we'll be doing some meditations, do the Sacred Geometrics meditation, and talk with my guides and angels about your issues and what we're all going through as we meet some of the incredible challenges of the changes at this time in our planet. Wow, it's really a wild ride. And then at 8 o'clock, we're followed up by Jackie Salviti with ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness, and we get to work with her channel team, which is always a big blast for me. I love to interview them, and I enjoy them so much, like we did with Ashtar today. And next Tuesday at 8 o'clock, I'll be on again with Paradigm Shifters. But know what? I'm not sure who my Paradigm Shifter is, but it's going to be exciting. So if you'd like a session with me, or if you'd like to comment on Terry's and Ashtar's presentation tonight, or if you just like to suggest some of the Paradigm Shifters that you know, email me, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, ENTWISTLE.com. That's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. I love to hear from you. I love your comments. Thank you so much for giving me feedback on this coming show and also the changes in my own program. And let's all gather up some of the universal energy flows and lights, call it in, and then run it through your body, and let's send the light and blessings out to one another and to all over the world. Let's enjoy the blessings that we all can radiate. And thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on Thursday night. Good night.